The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Morning, morning, morning.
It's the boss.
I plow shot like a plow.
In the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that.
It's somebody's birthday.
Start a show.
Well, you're legally drinking age today. Congrats, boss.
I made it. And thank you for singing for me. I didn't realize you had that beautiful voice.
A little bit of a morning voice, but you know, we're going to work it out throughout the show.
Just a little bit, but you hit all the right notes. Welcome back, by the way. Carla returns from the wedding extravaganza.
We're doing this. Ron, that was a great, great, great intro for the boss.
You got to, right?
Absolutely.
I guess so. Yeah, June.
I'm just glad he realized it was you and not me singing.
It was Carla's stunning voice. It was just beautiful. No, thank you all. It is great to be here on my birthday and sitting next to you guys and back with the boss and the gloss. We've got a big show coming up. We are sitting here the morning after the Lakers are out of the playoffs.
Woo!
A stunning turn of events. I mean, this was not what we all thought. We didn't see AD's injury. We didn't see this coming. But we can look at what this means for the NBA playoffs going forward.
Who didn't see AD's injury? You could say that every year, but he never disappoints.
A disappointing end for the Lakers. We'll unpack that when we return. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss.
The
Birthday Boss and the Gloss. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a card like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give up, cause that's your birthday. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. You need to
it's the boss.
In the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, welcome back. I am delighted to be the birthday boss.
I mean, Ron's got the tunes going this morning. Even the PG version for you. Isn't that nice?
Well, I do appreciate the PG version.
I do, too.
Since he's the boss of a radio station, it's probably a good idea.
We want to keep the language clean. It's always a concern with you, Carla, of course.
Yeah, I know. You have to watch out for me.
We're not wanting any letters today.
No letters from the FCC or anyone else. All right, the Lakers got a big letter on their forehead.
Woo.
It's a capital L. Lakers falling last night to the Suns. And I'll tell you what, that changes, to me, the whole spectrum of the playoff series here. Obviously, coming into the playoffs, Lakers, if they were healthy, were the favorites. But they were not healthy. And AD tried to play, played about 5 minutes, and had to leave the court. Lakers fall. Was it a surprise to you?
No. It really wasn't, because I saw in the play-in game, well, first of all, the Lakers are going in as a seventh seed. That in itself is quite surprising.
That's an indicator right there.
A LeBron AD-led Lakers, you know, and that was the first thing. The Warriors had them on the ropes and just didn't have enough in the end. So that said to me, the Warriors going in as an eighth seed, things got to change or it's not going to happen for them. And I think what's interesting about AD is that, and I've pointed this out before, last year's Lakers championship is an isolated event. Why? Because they had a very shortened season due to COVID. Towards the end of the regular season, the NBA shuts down for 5 months. That's 5 months rest on AD and LeBron's old legs, honestly. And then they come back in July, play 8 regular season games, and have the playoffs. That is the ideal situation for these two superstars, given their situations, to excel. And that's why they won last year. And I don't think it's repeatable with a long season. And this was even a shortened season with 72 games. But AD last night, God bless him for trying.
He tried.
He tried. But he was a shell of his former self. And,
right.
You know, like you said, he lasted 5 minutes. He has missed 20% of all games in his career. This season, he played 42 of 79 games.
And still was not able to finish down the stretch. It is interesting. There was all this talk that he had to play, that he needed to play through this injury, and perhaps a ton of pressure on him to play and to try to play. And he did. He went out there. But it reminded me a little bit of KD a couple of years ago with the Warriors, when there was all this pressure to get out there and play, and then KD ended up tearing his Achilles, right? So nothing like that happened for AD. But there's a whole lot of pressure on these athletes to get back on the court and compete at the highest level, particularly in the playoffs.
Sure. And AD said it himself, you know, he wanted to be available, but you got to know that was coming. LeBron knew he couldn't do that by himself.
Yeah.
Or maybe he found out he couldn't do it by himself. Here's what I have a problem with. So we're talking a lot about the Lakers, obviously, and their lack of ability to finish or get past this first round. It's LeBron's first round exit ever. He's been 14-0 in the first round until last night. Let's give some credit to the Phoenix Suns. They were hungry.
Yep.
11 years in a playoff draft.
Yeah.
And they come in and take care of the Lakers. And let me say, LeBron, you can talk about AD's injuries and then you made excuses about your own in a press conference. Stop excuses. CP3 was not healthy. CP3, if you look at his line, that wasn't much. But CP3's presence on the court, his willingness to win, his ability to set up at the offensive end, his ability to defend, to get out passes, was the difference. Yes, you've got Devin Booker, who had 47 points and 6 threes in a quarter
Love
to set a record.
Love what Devin Booker did.
Woo!
Talk about a star who has emerged on a big stage. He was outstanding. And yes, you're right. CP, it was fun to see him play. He is wounded, but he made some big plays down the stretch. What a great veteran presence to couple with Devin Booker.
Absolutely. So give some credit where it's due. You know, when I heard LeBron's press conference, I really didn't appreciate it. He said, I'm not concerned about a first-round exit. I'm concerned about our team getting healthy.
Mm.
Well, that's BS, because he's never had a first-round exit before. And he says, you know, we got to get our team healthy. And obviously I'm thinking of AD, but he says, quote, I'm not at full strength myself. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Do you see Steph Curry sitting up there saying, well, we would have done okay if we had Clay, and then if we were able to keep KD, and, you know, if I hadn't had that tailbone. No, man up, LBJ. Mm. I mean, superstars man up. They take L's because they've got L's, and they move on, and they quietly get better and come back and slay it next year. I'm tired of his excuses. Really, they got to stop.
All right, fair enough. So Lakers gone and the Suns advance. I tell you what, we are all impressed by what they've done, and they may be now the favorites in the West. I mean, Utah's going to have something to say about that, and Denver's not going to be easy for Phoenix. But when you look at the West now and you see the struggles of the Clippers, who many thought might have been the second-best team in the West coming into the playoffs, the West seems wide open to me.
Oh, I agree. The West is tough, and it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be so fun, especially since we've seen in the first round already, both teams that were in the finals last year are out. Miami was swept in the Eastern Conference. The Lakers, you know, lose to Phoenix 4-2. And Phoenix beat the defending champs on their home court.
Amazing.
Like, that's super cool. And Utah has been so impressive. You know, but they're on and off with how Donovan Mitchell rolls. And so, and, you know, Jokic is so much fun to watch. And I think this Western Conference, you know, we got a big game tonight with Dallas and the Clippers.
Big one.
And let me tell you, Kawhi Leonard, he's got to show up and show out tonight. Paul George is looking like the star this year. And I think this is, if Kawhi wants to shut up the naysayers, he's got to show up.
Well, if you just look at the resumes, the pedigrees of the players, on paper, the Clippers are a far superior team.
Absolutely.
But they haven't found a way to stop Luka. And
that's on Kawhi. That's his assignment.
Well, that he really, he can and should be able to be more impactful on the court.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, last year when they had that shocking early exit, they got rid of Doc Rivers. He was the problem.
Yep.
Well, guess what? Doc Rivers isn't the problem. He's actually moving on beautifully in the Eastern Conference, and you're in the same damn position you were last year.
Yep.
Like, what's going on with these two superstars? And like I said, Paul George is carrying his weight this year. But, I mean, Luka is playing out of his mind, and he doesn't have anyone to stop him. That's on Kawhi.
All right, so the West feels wide open. Over on the eastern side of the ledger, I mean, the Nets look like a real force. They dispatched the Celtics, an injured Celtics team, pretty quickly. But I do think Milwaukee's got a real shot in this series.
I do, too.
You can't sell short. They've got their own big three. It's not the same kind of big three as the Nets. But the Greek Freak can play with anybody. Middleton, Holiday, those guys can step up. They have some deep playoff experience. You look at James Harden, he's never done well when it gets deep into the playoffs. We shall see. I mean, I don't know. That Nets team, we were talking about a few weeks ago, the big question mark was defense. They really weren't challenged by the Celtics. I don't think we have a real read on whether they're going to be able to play championship-level defense.
Well, and you got Jason Tatum scoring 50 points twice in the series.
Yep.
There's your answer there.
And Tatum was really the one offensive force with both Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker on the bench. Tatum really had to carry the load offensively for the Celtics. And then you pair him up against the three big-time scorers for the Nets, and that really was not a series. I mean,
no, he did everything he could by himself. He could not have done more. Jason Tatum was outstanding.
Tatum outstanding. But what he highlights, and you were noting it before, there are some really great emerging young players the NBA. Luka being one, Jason Tatum another.
John Morant.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, Devin Booker is looking pretty strong.
Trae Young. Oh, my gosh, haven't got to the Atlanta series yet.
What a great thing, because when you're looking at LeBron, he's obviously at the tail end of his career, and he looked at this series.
Yeah, he did.
It was not, I mean, I kept expecting in the Lakers series, even with AD down, that somehow LeBron was going to raise his game and carry them to the win and force another game. Did not happen. And now you look at the NBA, and there are all these young stars who are really exciting to watch. I mean, I'll put the Joker in that category, too. I mean, he has emerged as somebody who's really exciting and funny. He has a different style of play.
He just doesn't look young.
No, he doesn't look the part.
He kind of looks like a minivan dad.
I mean,
it's fascinating, but he's probably going to be the league MVP. He's outstanding.
Yeah. No, it's a great time for the NBA to see those new guys coming up. Now, I do want to get to what just happened in Boston.
Wow, I want to hear from you. You are a resident Celtics expert.
Well, it is so interesting because I don't think anybody saw this coming. And when you look at the Danny Ainge career, and he's been there a long time, 18 years as the general manager of the Boston Celtics, and that's a run that you just don't see in modern sports. Attention spans are short. Patience is light. And so he had a great run, got the championship, had many other deep playoff runs, but couldn't quite get this next iteration over the top. You know, they've been in the Eastern Conference Finals the last couple of years, but this year is a very disappointing year. And so Danny Ainge steps out.
Retires
at 62. He obviously can still do the job, and maybe we'll see him again in some other capacity with some other team. But Brad Stevens steps into that role. I was very surprised to see that. I thought that the Celtics, the organization, Danny Ainge, felt like they've got building blocks. They've got the foundation on which they can go to the next level. And maybe they still do. That hasn't changed. But I would have thought that Ainge would stick around to see what will come of the team he's built. Because what people forget is, back-to-back years, With the number 3 overall pick, they had 2 excellent selections, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. But they've also got 2 number 14 overall picks, Aaron Nesmith, last year's draft, and Romeo Langford. And those two guys, both taken at 14 in different years, have the potential to develop into really nice players. We forget how young they are. They're only 19, 20 years old. They're kids, right? But Jaylen Brown, when he was taken, was very raw, very young, and developed into a player. I would not give up on Nesmith. He, coming out of Vanderbilt, was considered the best shooter in the draft. He showed flashes of that this year, but he had injury issues and other issues penetrating the rotation. Look, they've got some young pieces. They also drafted Peyton Pritchard in the first round this year, and he proved to be a pretty strong rookie selection at number 20 overall. So I don't think the cupboard is bare, that it's all dire in Boston. Kimber Walker's been a disappointment due to injuries.
Sure.
But there's still great possibilities there, and now it'll be Brad Stevens' job to figure it out.
Okay, question for you. Do you think you're talking, and you're probably right, but I just want to know, did Danny Ainge voluntarily retire, or is that verbiage, is that the narrative that Boston wants to look? Did Boston say, hey, you've done a great job for us, we're going to let you nicely go out the door? And then my second question for you is, do you think Brad Stevens should not be the head coach? That surprised me.
Well, it did surprise me because he's gotten a lot of credit for being a savvy coach, for drawing up great plays, for knowing how to put his players in the right place.
They've been in the playoffs for consecutive years.
But it's a whole different job being the GM. He's got to deal with all the headaches of salary cap management and luxury tax and players who might have 3 years left on a contract but are demanding to leave. I mean, that's the nature of the NBA, and that's the nature of a GM's job. So this is a very big step for him. He's notoriously a very bright guy, very good basketball mind.
And a great coach.
And he's a great coach.
Why do you think you need to change in the coaching position? And, you know, you're going to hear from minorities, you know, where's the interview process? How did the white coach just get to step up to the GM? Where is that?
Yep. So, I think for Boston, the next head coach really does need to be an African-American coach.
Agreed.
One, you've got the optics of Kyrie Irving saying that the city is racist and that he heard racial epithets when he was there. Then the two, some of the NBA right now is about recruiting and getting stars to come to your team. And a part of that will be having an African-American coach. I really think they need one more good star to go alongside the big two. And maybe it's Bradley Beal, maybe it's somebody else. But they really do need one more, and that's going to be a recruiting effort. I think Kemba Walker could be traded if someone would take on that tough contract.
Yeah.
But they've got some work to do in Boston. But the cupboard is not bare. They've got some really nice pieces there, and it will be fun to see what Brad Stevens can do with that team. All right, when we come back, we're going to shift gears, and we're going to look at the trade winds blowing in the NFL. Lots of trade opportunities. Julio Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Zach Ertz, all perhaps on the trading block. We'll look at what this means now that we've crossed the June 1st timeline. That up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Boss
in the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
And we're still singing, Say It's Your Birthday.
Still singing Happy Birthday to me, the birthday boss.
That's right.
It's a delight to be here on my birthday with each of you. It is not delightful for Julio Jones to be in Atlanta anymore. No. He is apparently on his way out of town.
I like that segue. Very nice.
Thank you. Well, he's made it clear, and I guess the Falcons have reconciled themselves to the fact that they do have a salary cap problem. They have to sign their rookies, and they have no room. They must trade Julio Jones. And so this is a trade that everyone knew would need to wait until the June 1st cutoff date, when much of the salary cap impact of the trade could be spread over 2 seasons.
But here we are on June 4th.
So this trade has not come down by the deadline, by the time that everybody envisioned. It's taking a little bit longer.
You know, I read a narrative this week, and I'm I want to get your opinion on it, that said that basically the DeAndre Hopkins trade showed the devaluation of wide receivers in the league. My question to you, and we're based here out of Houston, is that really the case that they're devalued, or is it just that Bill O'Brien was so bad and so dumb because he got nothing for him? He basically got an older David Johnson who's injury plagued, whatever, for one of the top receivers, the top two receivers in the league. Do you believe that the market for receivers is devalued and that the Hopkins trade was proof of it?
Oh, man, when I look at that Hopkins trade, I just see that
as cringeworthy.
Bill O'Brien blowing it.
Me too.
Because I really don't compare Hopkins and Julio Jones. I think they're in different places in their career. Of course, Hopkins.
Julio's 32 years old.
Yeah, he's 32. He had all kinds of hamstring issues last year.
Very injury prone.
He only played in about 9 games. He has a monster contract.
Yeah.
And so when you think about having to allocate a ton of cap space and some draft capital to a 32-year-old injury-plagued receiver, that's hard to do. If you were trading for a young Julio Jones or trading for his Hall of Fame career, absolutely. But at this point, no, he's not DeAndre Hopkins. And DeAndre Hopkins was at the time, I think, about 25 years old, at the peak of his powers, still ascending. He was worthy of so much more than Julio Jones, and yet Bill O'Brien basically gave him away, and the Cardinals were sitting fat and happy and big, big grins on their face because they fleeced the Texans
and
on that deal.
It was the catch of the year with his Hail Mary last year.
That's right.
Wow.
And that was a catch that just shows the talents of DeAndre Hopkins, his leaping ability, the strong hands, the ability to go up, grab it, and with everybody around him, hold on to the ball and come down. Hopkins has done that. And one thing Hopkins has done so well so many times, he did it with Deshaun Watson in Houston, then, of course, with the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. But he has the amazing ability to catch the ball in a crowd. You know, they always say that some receivers, when the ball is coming to them, seem to get smaller. The target zone gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and the ball better be right where it needs to be. Or some receivers get bigger and bigger, bigger, bigger target zone, and Hopkins just grabs everything. He's exceptional.
He's aggressive, and he can get in there. And he's a slight guy. I mean, he's a wiry guy, honestly. But, man, he can grab it in a scrum. Well, as the Hail Mary shows.
As he did, and has done so well through the league.
Yeah.
But so Julio Jones is going to land somewhere. He will be traded. It's a matter of for how much. There are whispers that it will be a second-round pick. It may depend upon how much money the Falcons are willing to foot on the bill.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, the Falcons were to keep a lot of the money or spend a lot of the money, keep paying for a chunk of it. Yeah, then the draft capital would be better. But when we look around the league, it doesn't seem there are a lot of teams lined up to do this. Seahawks are on the short list. Titans on the short list. I sort of think the Titans would be a perfect home. They've lost Corey Davis. They've lost their tight end. They really probably could use another receiving threat to form their own.
And they're contender ready. I mean,
yeah, they really are.
I mean, they're in there.
Tannehill is, what, 32, 33? It's time. They're in a win-now mode. Derrick Henry's not going to have a long career in the NFL. I know he's still young, but the way he runs and the hits he takes, he just won't have a career beyond 30 years old. He's 26 now. So we're looking at the last 2 to 3, 4 years of a good career with Derrick Henry. No, to get Julio Jones to round out that team, that would probably be a really nice addition for the Titans offense.
And I know that the Rams and the Ravens were in the running for Julio, and they took themselves out this week. So it'll be interesting. They've got to have a team that's willing to give up draft capital. I think you're exactly right. It's going to be a second rounder, not a first rounder, because of his age and injury history.
Yeah, no one gives up a first rounder for him now. A guy they will give up a first rounder for, though, is Aaron Rodgers, if, in fact, that deal were to happen.
Gosh.
And you've been following that story. It is the lead story every day, it seems. And yet nothing's really taking place other than Aaron says, I want out. And the Packers say, well, you are under contract and you're not going anywhere. It's a bad stalemate for the league and for the Packers.
Well, and I think the narrative is interesting about how he's not showing up for OTAs.
Yep.
And Jordan Love is taking all the reps or most of the reps, which is fine. I mean, he forfeits $500,000 because Rodgers doesn't get his workout bonus or whatever. But guess who else opted out of OTAs? All of these wide receivers, Devontae Adams, Alan Lazard, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, Equanimous St. Brown, and Devin Funchess. So who's Love throwing to? Like, wow, I'm not scared of that. So interesting.
Fascinating times. You know, there's some other guys on the trading block. We'll come back to them. Zach Ertz, the great tight end of the Eagles.
Yeah, so
the Cowboys
surprising.
Might trade away one of their linebackers. We'll look
yeah,
at some of the other trade
that.
Possibilities and other top lists in the NFL when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the boss.
And the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
That's sort of sweet cocktail type music,
lounge
isn't it?
Music.
Lounge music for my birthday.
That's right.
Pour me a tall, cold one. Is that what you're doing here, Ron?
Just trying to set the mood.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my.
You know, speaking of mood, Carla Dawson's daughter got married in Sonoma. And, Ron, I understand you have questions about what took place there.
Well, there was one particular question that I had.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Because you posted a lot of photos.
Well, before you do this, let me set the scene.
Yes.
It was a stunning wedding. It was beautiful. It was Sonoma.
He's already saving my booty before you
wine
ask me.
No. I have nothing but mad respect for this wedding. I'm just upset that I didn't get the invite.
Well, sure. There's always that factor.
I've never.
You're a Chargers fan.
Well,
it's going to hurt you.
I understand.
No Charger fans allowed at the Raider wedding.
Apparently.
Everyone wore black at the wedding. I don't know why. Silver and black. It was
a little eye paint underneath. Yeah.
Did you have the one guy show up with the shoulder pads and the big spikes?
Listen, Catherine, this older daughter who got married, she would never wear silver and black at her wedding. But Camille, your other daughter, she just might.
Oh, yeah, totally.
For which we respect her a great deal.
She might have had Raiders undergarments on.
Good for her, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but here is my question, because one of the photos you put, I mean, it looked absolutely gorgeous and beautiful, was this long table, right? I just need to know, you had more than one salt shaker, correct?
Oh, dear. You're right. This was
Great question.
This was a table that seated 200 people. It was the longest table at which I have ever sat.
In the middle of the vineyard. Yeah. It was, and you know what was cool? So, yes, we had several salt shakers.
I'm just hoping so, because, you know, the other thing was...
Pass the salt!
Obviously, the bride and groom sat at the head of the tables.
They did not.
No. You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
That's where you got to put them. You got to put them at the ends of the tables.
At opposite ends. That's a long way apart.
What was really cool that someone pointed out to me, it was your bride actually, said it was so fun to see the food being delivered through the vines, because it was obviously narrow. It was between some vineyards. And so the wait staff would put the food like through the openings in the vines so that they didn't have to go like...
Almost like Field of Dreams.
It was Vineyard of Dreams. That's
kept appearing.
No, I mean, it absolutely looked gorgeous. And how many bridesmaids were in the wedding party? That was my other question.
Yeah, the over-under number.
Okay.
It was big.
It was big. And this is the issue.
I probably would have gone under and lost heavily.
You would have lost heavily. You don't even want to know.
Yeah.
The bridal party was more than half of that very long table that you saw. 20 bridesmaids.
Wow.
2-0. But, you
I don't
know,
even know if I have 20 friends.
Or 20 people who show up at your wedding at all.
Oh,
right?
Ron, everybody loves you. Everybody loves you.
Carl and I will be
20
there.
20 times 20 friends.
We'll be there for your next wedding.
We will.
For my next wedding?
No, hopefully for vow renewals. It'll be
renewals then.
Yes.
A renewal. All right. I want to shift gears from happy wedding topics to difficult separations, because Vegas has come out with a ranking of the coaches most likely to be fired.
Oh, your boy is at the top.
And Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, was ranked as the most likely to be fired, the first to be fired, because the expectations are so high in Dallas and that McCarthy will go. And I don't know, I will tell you, my reaction to that is Mike McCarthy may have been a bad hire, but the premise here was that, well, Jerry Jones has an itchy trigger finger and he just can't help himself. He will pull the trigger because he's impulsive and makes these rash decisions. But that's just not Jerry Jones.
No, he's got the opposite problem.
Jason Garrett, he kept for 10 years. He arguably kept him too long. And he may have made a mistake in hiring Mike McCarthy, but the headline here, the mistake, will not be an itchy trigger finger. It may be that Jerry Jones doesn't want to admit a mistake. That's where he's going to err. He does not like to admit mistakes, and firing Mike McCarthy early in year two, which is the premise here, is the ultimate statement of a mistake. So, no, I don't see that happening at all. I don't see Mike McCarthy getting fired this year. I think Jerry Jones is absolutely going to dig in, and almost in a stubborn way, if he has to, stick behind Mike McCarthy. If I were to complain about Mike McCarthy, I give him no grief about last year. The whole team was injured. Start with the quarterback.
Oh, but I have one bit of grief.
Yes.
Why in the world would you hire Mike Nolan as your DC?
But that is the grief. That is
the one thing.
When you look back at year one, you say, why Mike Nolan? He brought in a defensive system that just didn't seem to align with the players. There were all kinds of moments when it seemed that the players were in the wrong position, that they were confused on the field. Mike Nolan was a colossal failure on the defensive side.
There was the reason Mike Nolan was out of a job. Hello.
So they fixed that, apparently, and they brought in Dan Quinn. Mike Nolan gone.
Great hire.
And Dan Quinn seems like a great hire, and he's got his own sort of version of how he wants that defense to look. He loves big, tall, lanky cornerback types. He wants that next Richard Sherman like he had with the Seahawks years ago. And so the Cowboys are retooling their defense. But no, I don't think Mike McCarthy is at risk. The interesting thing about the Cowboys and their coaching right now is that the offense is really run by and called by Kellen Moore. So if the play calling is struggling, Kellen Moore is the most responsible party there. And on the defensive side, it seems that Dan Quinn's been given a lot of latitude and autonomy to make decisions there.
And he should be. He's proven himself at a lot of levels, winning a Super Bowl in Seattle and then going on to Atlanta and, well, worst Super Bowl loss in history. But
he did have
Steve Sarkisian as his OC, so let's put it on him.
We'll put it on him. All right. The second most likely coach to be fired, Vic Fangio. And I could see that. I mean, Denver, I don't know what the expectations really should be in Denver.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you get fired because of your expectations.
No,
but Denver is such a rabid football town. There's not a lot of patience there. But they're going to bank on Drew Locke to be their answer.
Maybe. They may be the one team, along with Carolina possibly, that will look at Deshaun Watson, you know, when some of these legal issues start to pan out. Or more than that, it's not even the legal issues. It's waiting to see what the NFL is going to do so they know what they've got.
Yeah, the NFL is likely to suspend him 4, 6, 8 games. I don't think it's a full season. So if you could get Deshaun on the cheap right now, trade for him, and then, no, you got to wait on him for 8 games. That might be a wait that is worthwhile.
Sure, to get him for that price, because when do you see an NFL quarterback young and in the prime of his career available?
Yep. So that may well come to pass. The third name on the list, Matt Nagy, and he's a guy who I thought was going to get fired after last year, but he's got new life there. Nagy with the Bears and Justin Fields. We shall see. Amazing. I was thinking about that quarterback room. Of course, they've got Justin Fields, and he ultimately needs to be the starter. They need to develop him. Andy Dalton, of course, and Nick Foles, a Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
A Super Bowl-winning MVP quarterback.
I mean, you've got some depth in that room.
But he's not in really the conversation, which is interesting. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen Justin Fields, some of his OTA things. That dude, like, he blew up some air. He is big.
Yeah.
Like, he looks awesome. And you look at him next to Mac Brown, who looks a little bit like Mr. Rogers. You know, his jersey's all big and everything else. It's kind of funny. But I think there's hope for Matt Nagy. He's got a nice depth chart, just as you mentioned. And Ryan Pace is, you know, he doesn't want to admit a mistake. So
he's free of his Trubisky era.
Yep.
So that's Matt Nagy, number 3 overall. And then John Gruden, your man.
Say it isn't so.
Chucky, he's the fourth most likely coach to go. In fact, we're sitting here. My coach, the Cowboys coach, is the first most likely. Yours is the fourth most likely. And when I was looking at that and thinking about John Gruden, he is entering year 4.
Which just
doesn't seem like it's been that long. But, yeah, it's year 4, and they haven't made the playoffs. And usually coaches are required to make the playoffs within 3 or 4 years. So do you think he's really on the hot seat?
I do not. I don't think he's on Mark Davis's hot seat for any minute. There is a love fest between those two. And I don't get the feeling in Raider Nation that there's disappointment with John Gruden at all. Mm-hmm. I really don't. And when you look at how far they came, I mean, they were a disaster with basically nothing except an injured Derek Carr. And he's brought them. I mean, they beat the Saints on Monday Night Football. They beat the Chiefs, handed the Chiefs their only meaningful. They did have a season loss at the last game of the season, but they beat the Chiefs. They're doing the right things. But what's similar about your team and my team, so you've got Mike McCarthy as the number one guy likely to be fired, and Gruden is the number four. It's both, to me, hinges on their D.C. We talked earlier, why in the world would Mike McCarthy bring in Mike Nolan? Well, now he's got Dan Quinn to resurrect it. Paul Gunther, I mean, the defense in Las Vegas was a disaster under Paul Gunther's system. Paul Gunther's now gone. So now Gus Bradley comes in. So let's see now what Oakland, good gosh, I'm just.
It has been a little while, but
yeah,
you grew up an Oakland Raiders fan.
I did. I'm an Oakland Raiders fan, but I still love my Raiders wherever they are. So I think we've got to give the same things. We're going to give Dan Quinn a chance and Dak to come back healthy. We've got to give Gus Bradley a chance to see what can happen under Gruden's system. And, you know, Carr was astounding last year at how much better he was learning Gruden's system and just really – and Darren Waller, the emergence of him. Wow. There's a lot of hope in Oakland. Gosh darn. Las Vegas. I got to wake myself up. A lot of hope in Las Vegas. I don't think he's on the hot seat.
I have always thought that Derek Carr – has been generally underrated.
Totally.
The hype about him is always light. And yep. When I see him play, every time I see him play, I think, wow, he throws a beautiful ball. He throws it deep. He throws it short. He can throw it with an arch.
His receivers love him. His running backs love him. It's a good situation. And he and Gruden definitely are on the same page, which is really nice.
Okay, so we looked at the coaches most likely to be fired. At the other end of the spectrum, the coaches least likely to be fired. Mm-hmm. It's sort of interesting. Of course, Andy Reid. I don't think Andy Reid's getting fired this year.
Or anytime soon.
Yeah, Bruce Arians and Bill Belichick. I mean, those three, I think, are pretty safe.
Yeah, not too shocking. Now, I did notice that in the top 10, in fact, number 8, is David Culley, the new rookie coach with the Houston
yes.
Texans.
First-year coach. How can you say that?
Because they have nothing.
They have nothing. Well, that's right. When you start to go 0-8, and then you're 0-10, and then you get to 0-12, and then you're at risk of being the first time ever loser of 17 games in a season, you might be at risk.
Yep.
I mean, David Culley was a head-scratching selection by general manager Nick Caserio. There were lots of great coaches out there.
But he's young. Oh, shoot. No, he's not. Oh, yeah.
There's really not much you can say about that selection.
Oh. It's not David Culley's fault. Hey, he was given the opportunity. I put that on Nick Caserio.
He was pretty excited about it. Okay, one of the other interesting narratives, we've only got just a couple minutes, but the top quarterback.
What's going on today?
I don't know.
So fast.
The show is going fast. It must be my birthday.
It is. You're speeding up the age train here. What in the world?
But there's some great quarterback battles, right? You're going into camp. There are a couple teams, not many, who have some really good quarterback battles. And, you know, we could start with the Texans. This is not an epic quarterback battle in Houston, Texas.
Tyrod Taylor versus Davis Mills.
That's the epic battle that's happening in Houston because Deshaun is apparently removed from the situation. And they brought in Tyrod Taylor. They drafted Davis Mills, the really good prospect out of Stanford. I think that was a wise pick.
I think it was a wise pick. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of college games in his career, but he is a smart, smart kid, great work ethic, and he can do it.
Well, I mention this because I've got a soft spot for Tyrod Taylor. He always seems to be the placeholder for another quarterback on the way. Most recently, of course, with the Chargers, Justin Herbert came in and replaced Tyrod Taylor, and Tyrod Taylor finds himself in Houston.
And why was he replaced? Because the team doctor punctured his lungs.
So Tyrod Taylor, a bit snake bit,
absolutely. Yeah.
And here he sits in Houston, and I think the Texans need to give Davis Mills a look. They need to see what they have before next year's draft, because if Davis Mills is the real deal, fantastic. But if he's not, they got to go get someone like a Spencer Rattler next year, high in the draft. And they will have the draft capital to do so, probably the number one pick
unless
overall.
Unless they trade it away, because we're known to do that in Houston. That's what happens.
God willing, this time the Texans will have a first-round draft pick. But there are other quarterback battles. I find the whole Cam Newton versus Mac Jones at the Patriots question really intriguing. Of course, ultimately, Mac Jones is the future of the Patriots, but Belichick wants to win now, and he invested in a team, bought a lot of free agents to win now, and Cam Newton may be better equipped to win this season.
Well, Josh McDaniels was very complimentary and just said, you know, because Cam's coming back now on another 1-year deal.
Yeah.
He's worked on his passing mechanics in the offseason. And this is a quote from McDaniels. Cam has a different grasp of the offense, a different understanding of the terminology. Now we're working on just refining precision and details. I mean, he was glowing about Cam Newton. And then Belichick said yesterday, Cam Newton is our number one. So their depth chart would go Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham, and then good old Brian Hoyer. He's kind of like a much more quiet Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Just, right, I think Mac Jones will blow by those guys.
Yeah.
And then we've
I mean, Mac Jones first and then Stidham. And then, I forgot Mac Jones. But they really like what they're seeing out of Mac Jones. He takes care of the football, and they like how smart he is. He can function at a very high level with their terminology, you know, because of what he did at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's a smart kid. I hope he does well. I can definitely see him being their guy. But I really appreciate and really love that 32-year-old Cam Newton is getting another chance with pieces around him. Because they were, I mean, Patriots won the shopping spree.
They did it.
So it'll be fun. I think it's going to be fun to watch.
All right, when we come back, Amazon is going to be streaming Thursday Night Football, and they have a real target in mind to do the play-by-play job.
Yes,
let's take a look at whom they want. We'll look at that when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18. Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.